You would go on and open your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. That's where we're going to be at. We're going to read a pretty lengthy section of Scripture this morning. Lord willing, we will try to discover some of the truths, of wonderful truths of God's Word that I think it speaks to our time. I think it's very pertinent to our situation where we find ourselves living at in the year of 2010. One thing I want you to think about is rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Without showing everything, I want us to kind of work through this together, but we're going to be looking at a group of people that we know a lot about by reading the New Testament. You hear them repeated over and over again, the Pharisees. They were people of a lot of rules, but were they obedient to God? And so we're going to look at that and see, well, what can it speak to us in our day and time? And I think it'll speak to us a lot as we look through the Scriptures, the Lord willing. If you would, open me, let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we desperately need you. Lord, we need the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and guide, to teach us all your truth, and Lord, also to help us to apply it to our lives, to be obedient, to be pleasing in your sight. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help us, give us clarity of thought. Lord, I pray that you will be with us in a wonderful way to show us your word, and as you flood through our minds, different parts of the Scripture, and Lord, how Scripture can interpret itself as we look throughout the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Lord, I pray that you will be laying Scripture upon our hearts to confirm your truth, to solidify it, to help us be changed. Instead of being changed by our culture, Lord, I pray that we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So, Lord, we pray that you be with us, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen. Chapter 7 of Mark, Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and a certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw him and saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the traditions of the elders. And when they came from the market, except they wash, they ate not. And many other things there be, which they had received to hold, as the washing of cups, pots, brazen vessels, and tables, and of tables. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? And he answered and said unto them, well hath Elias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, and laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as washing of pots and cups, and many others things like things ye do. He said in verse 9, and he said unto them, full well you reject the commandments of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses saith, honor the father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth his father or mother, let him die the death. But I say it to you, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do ought for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your own traditions, which you have delivered, and many such things like you do. Things do ye. We're going to continue on reading. I know it's a lengthy section, but I do urge you to follow along. Verse 14, and he said, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Now, this is Jesus speaking to a group of scribes and Pharisees as well as his disciples. There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him can defile him, but things that come out of him, those that are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he had entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he said unto them, are you so without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from whatsoever thing without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out to the drought, purging all meats. And he said, verse 20, that which cometh out of the man, that is that defiles the man. For within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders, thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, of evil and eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come out from within and defile the man. I know it's a lot of large section, and there's no way we're going to each comment on each part of the section, but what I want you to understand is tradition conceals belief. There's a lot of traditions we do that are good, but we need to understand the reason behind their traditions. What happened with the Pharisees is they had traditions of men, and they had these traditions, and it says, you shall not do this, and they said, that's it, you don't do that. And they teach their children, you don't do that, and their children didn't do it. And they thought they were doing really the thing that was pleasing in God's eyes. They were given a lot of rules, but they did not have the relationship with God. It was tradition of men, and they prized that more than their relationship with God. I want to look over, just flip over a few passages back to Matthew chapter 23. Pharisees, you don't find the Pharisees anywhere in the Old Testament. The Pharisees came up in the intertestamental period between Malachi and Matthew. They were very much religious people. They were like a political party. They were your conservative. They had a zeal for God in many ways, and they did a lot of good things, but it was a lot of times teaching on traditions of men. They were more concerned with what their commentators of the Old Testament were saying, more so than what God's Word said in the first five books of the Bible or the Old Testament scrolls. They're very much knowledgeable about a lot of case law and a lot of history, and they valued those things, and they prized those things, and by the outward appearances, did they look like bad people? No, they did not. They looked like very good people. They were very zealous, and they were very religious. But Jesus came, and he pointed out some of their fatal flaws. And why I think it's important to us as Christians living here in America, we can succumb to those same fatal flaws. Last week, as I was traveling home, I heard on the radio some political candidates for each position. And it was almost by a rehearsed phrase, they said stuff that was supposed to appeal to me being a Christian, and I was supposed to remember that when I went to the poll thinking, this guy is probably a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, so I need to vote for that person, because they used the right phraseology. They said the right things. But I've been around long enough to know that you can say the right things to get elected, and your heart is far from being truthful to that. And I think that we have to understand that that's the easy way. Easy way is to follow the tradition of men. Easy way is to say the right things, but our heart being far from God. Now, we need to say the right thing, but it needs to measure up, and our hearts need to be right before God. And that's my prayer, and that's my desire. As we leave here today, I'm not just saying let's just dump all the traditions. They need to be aligned with God's Word, and we need to be obedient to God, and our hearts need to be right before His. As we sing, pure in heart, O God, help me to be. So, let's look at Matthew 23, and let's see what Jesus says about this. Chapter 23 in Matthew, Jesus said, disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. In verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move from them with one of their fingers. For all the works they do for it to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries, I can't say, and enlarge their borders of the garments. They love the uttermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the markets and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. Jesus says, but do not be called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all are brethren. And call no one Father upon earth, for there is one Father which is in heaven. So Jesus had a lot to say about this group. He had a lot to say about the Pharisees. The Pharisees had a lot of, like I said, a lot of good, but their traditions, they conceal belief. Let's look at verse 6, back to Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 7, verse 6. And this is where, Lord willing, we'll stay the most of the next three verses. We'll spend more time here. Elijah prophesies, as is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Why is that so? Why is it that we can honor God with our lips, but our heart is far from God? I think there's several reasons that we can do that. It's the easier way. It's much easier for me to tell my child to do something or not do it. For example, telling them not to steal. You know, not to steal. Is that a good or wrong thing? Is that a right or wrong thing, telling a child not to steal? Okay, it's teaching them right. But do I ever go beyond the step of teaching them the other thing? Of teaching them the why behind something? Why behind a rule? If I don't, I fail to teach. I fail to teach on the heart level of teaching a person, teaching my child to understand that it's not just the law of God, but it's also from within the heart. Let me get one more easier. Why is it that we shall not kill? Okay, let's look at abortion, for example. Abortion is what? It's wrong. Okay, why? Okay, God's Word. What about God's Word? Where can I find that at in God's Word? Find it in the Ten Commandments. Find it in Exodus chapter 20. But if I just leave it at that, is that good enough? If it's good, it is good enough for the Pharisee, it is good enough. But to really teach the way that Jesus, I think, intended throughout His Scriptures, and Lord willing, we'll get there and I'm going to point out some of this. Does it teach it into the heart level? What's the deepest issue behind thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not take an innocent life? Why is it that that life is special? Okay, we're to love other people, we love our neighbor, but the issue is, it gets back to the root of it, is we're created in the image of God. And the other person, that child, is an image bearer. And so the why goes on that we need to say, thou shalt not kill, but be able to discuss with our children and teach them on the heart level that it's because of who God is, that we're created in the image of God. And a lot of these things you can go back to Genesis, but if we just leave it at the point of just a superficial don't do these, if we give it a list of don't do these and let's do these things, it will never affect the heart and it will never impact the lives and lives will not be lived for the glory of God. It will just be handed down religion from generation to generation. The same thing that the Pharisees found themselves in, not necessarily all fault to themselves, but that's the situation they found themselves in. Their heart was far from God. And none of us want that to be the case. We want them to know it's our hearts right before God. Let's look, and I think the best example would be turn to Exodus 20. What's contained in Exodus 20? The Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. This might be able to speak it better. I can illustrate it better than I can say it. Now, does God have a right to say, don't do this, and we don't do it, and He never gives us a reason at all, and we just say, that's good enough, God's Word says it, that settles it. Yeah. That's good. I'm not disputing that. Do not mistake me saying that we're to question everything that God's Word says. I'm not saying that. But I want us to take clues and learn from the master teacher himself how he was to teach and how he worked with people is that he gave them commentary. Not by the tradition of men, but from the Holy Spirit. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What's the commandment contained with the verses I just read? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What is the context of that? What is it? What did he say? Is there a reason? Did he give any type of a reason? Did God conceal? He said, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He was their deliverer. He delivered them. He saved them from slavery, from captivity. They were in Egypt for over 400 years. They were in Egypt longer than our country has been in existence. And God pointed back to that. He gave them, you're to have no other gods for me because, see, I am the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He listed each of those things. Let's look at another one. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down. It talks about the graven image in verse 4, but it's verse 5. It says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Okay, so we're pointing out, do not worship other gods. Well, why? Well, God will bring judgment upon your life. Okay, is that all you need to teach them about that same commandment when you're teaching a child that? When we teach them the Ten Commandments, we just talk about the commandments, but we fail to look and see what God said and commanded in each of those things. Is that the only thing we need to teach about that? That you are not to bow and worship other gods? No, because there's more to it there. And it's a beautiful thing. We need to show this one. We need to point out this. And showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Y'all see how beautiful that is? He says the negative, but he also gives the blessing attached. And if we just teach our children the Ten Commandments, that is good, but we also need to do what gets to the heart of showing the heartbeat of God, how He shows us it's for His glory and our good in keeping those things. Turn back with me to Mark. Verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. It's so hard today. There's so many radio stations. I drive to Savannah every day. It takes me an hour and 45 minutes to get there every day. So I flip through the channels and listen to many different things on the radio, hear different teachings. And it's almost like whatever belief that you have out there, you can find someone to represent that on the radio. And you have all these other doctrines. And I want you to understand, doctrine is not a bad word. Doctrine is a good word. Doctrine is teachings. And what you have to distinguish between good teaching and false teaching. And what criteria do you base that teaching upon? The Word of God. Amen. It's the Word of God that we need to be weigh out and measure it based on the Word of God. And do not be deceived and be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. But we have a lot of people teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Commandments of men being passed off is thus says the Lord. You will conflict, encounter every in a typical day, if your ears are open, you will hear many teachings that are teachings and doctrines of men instead of the Word of God. It's very easy. You can turn on any TV, you can watch any show on the TV, you can listen to the radio, and you will hear sometimes truth, but a lot of times you'll hear the teachings, doctrine, the commandments of men. It says, for laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men. Why is it so tempting to lay aside the commandments of God and pick up the commandments of men? And he's speaking now to a religious people. He's not speaking to secular or worldly people. Tell me, why is it easier to take the teachings of men instead of teachings of God? Okay. Because what does the straight and narrow way entail? As much study. See, it's easy to say the right things instead of be the right person. Are you with me? Remember I said, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Rules without relationships leads to rebellion. It's easy to say the right things because I'm being forced to say it. What I see happening, not only in the Baptist churches, and I'm talking about in general everybody who says they're Christians, there's a mass exodus after we graduate high school age. Many of them will never come back, or many of them may come back later on in life. But the statistics are overwhelming if you study it. Even on a secular level, in a sociology course, they'll say, yeah, there's a mass exodus of people who identify as Christians who are never coming back to the church. And some of it, I believe, there's many different reasons, but I believe some of it that we can address in our own hearts, in our own lives, in my own life, and I'm saying this to myself too, is that it's easier to say, don't do this or do this, instead of getting back to teaching what does God's Word say and understanding the answering the why questions, to have that dialogue in the family, to talk about these things, to teach them in your families. See, if we're just depending upon Brother Billy to teach our families, he's only got roughly, if you're in there in Bible study with him, that's 1 hour. He's up here preaching, that's 2 hours. Then Wednesday night, that's 3 hours. What's going to go on the rest of your week? Now, even if you can say, well, I can listen to him on the radio. Well, that's true. Or you can listen to him on the radio. You can also listen to him on CDs. But is that the way that God intended that the preacher... What was his method to convey his message to his people? His method to convey his message to his people were not the scribes, the religious professionals. It was in the family. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6. And I'm trying to think about how far we want to go. Verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Teaching them diligently to thy children gets to the heart level. It is shepherding that child's heart to make them desire to want to know more about God, to love God with all their heart, soul, and might. To diligently discern, not asking myself, if my children doing the bare minimal to get by to say, oh, they're Christians, oh, they're doing the right thing. People are, you know, they're not going to make me ashamed in public. If that's all we're targeting to and parenting to, Lord, help us. We need to get to the heart level that our children will be obedient to God out of desire of their own heart. Remember what the Pharisees? They said the right thing, but their heart was far from God. Teach them diligently unto thy children. Shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou rise up, thou shalt bind them as a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Let's look down to verse 17. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and His testimonies and His statutes which He has commanded thee. See? It is worshiping God out of a true heart. The heart reveals belief. The heart is what gives us the motivation, desires, the will. Desires that we have all come from the heart. See, the Pharisees, now you're thinking the Pharisees had, they were washing their hands. What's wrong with that? It wasn't simply a thing of washing your hands where you were not going to have germs. It was a big ceremony. And it was a big formal thing. They continued to wash their hands. They continued to do things. And a lot of it was to be seen of men instead of God. And realize God was not teaching His disciples to be disobedient to Himself. Understand that God was not teaching rebellion to the teachings of God. He was sending rebellion to the teachings of men. The people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. My prayer is that we will go to the Psalms, that we'll go to the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, and that we'll read the book of Proverbs as a family, as a father reading and praying for his family. Read the book of Proverbs and teach their children. Teach those. The mothers teach, if the father's not available, teach the Word of God to your children. Matter of fact, Timothy's grandmother and mother was the primary teachers of him, the Word of God. And God blessed that tremendously. But I believe that if you wait, if you think that you can wait on us getting a youth ministry or that some type of big program, that's going to bring radical change in the lives of the people to stem the tide of many of our children leaving the Christian faith, it's not going to happen. It's going to show when we get serious about praying for our families and teaching on the heart level, that to teach there needs to be continuity between the Word of God, their hearts, and what the Word of God says. Remember, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. We are not to ever forsake God's laws and His truths, but we are to explain them, to teach them, and to model that as God's Scripture has outlined in the teaching of the for the fathers teaching and praying for the families. And we as a church, as Brother Billy preaches or the pastor elder teaches the Word of God, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. All those things will mold and shape that heart. And our hearts will be circumcised, as the Scriptures talk about. Have us broken in a contrite heart. And hearts that will be more in tune. We will weep for the things that God weeps for. And has a heart that beats in unison with His, instead of being zealous for the traditions of our fathers and not the traditions of God.